looking at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, and we're going to talk about God's word concerning our worries. Did anybody here worry? All of us, I'm sure. Some of us probably more than others. But the Reverend R.C. Trench, who was at one time the Protestant Archbishop of Dublin, had a morbid fear of becoming paralyzed. One evening at a party, the lady he sat next to at dinner heard him muttering mournfully to himself, "It has happened at last. Total insensibility of the right limb." "Your grace," said the lady, "it may comfort you to learn that it is my leg you are pinching." So he thought his great fear, his worry, had finally came true, that he had finally went numb in his leg. And it's kind of a silly way, but we all worry. Most of you looked guilty when I asked, "Do you worry?" And some of them are probably, some of our worries are as silly as a limb going numb. You know, we worry about something that the chances of it happening are so minute that we're stupid. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so ridiculous, the things that we worry about. And some of our worries, I'm sure, are legitimate. They're things that could actually take place or are taking place, and we worry about them. But we're going to talk about our worry tonight, or this afternoon, today. So for those that are prone to worrying, and probably all of us are to some extent, have you ever thought about the dangers of worrying? Let me give you something else to worry about. So when you're worrying, now you're going to know that there's more to worry about, because there are dangers that come with worrying. Over 100 diseases have been directly attributed to worry. So now you have 100 diseases to worry about getting. Worry will not only take away your physical energy, but it will also rob your soul of the stamina that it needs as well. Why worry? Why? Worry is the ultimate act of rebellion against God and His rule and His ability to take care of you. It says that He has no power, He's not alive. What He says He can do, He can't do. So when you worry, you're saying that God has no power to take care of you and your family or your circumstances or whatever it is that you're worrying about. So even though we all know we shouldn't worry, now you know there's over 100 diseases that are attributed to worry, we all still have that tendency to worry. It's something we have to work on, probably all of us, every day. We have to watch worrying about things. It could be considered the most popular pastime of the human race. Don't have nothing else to do, so we think of something to worry about. You know, somebody's not here, so we worry. They're here, and so we worry because they're here. They're not. We worry when they're not here. We worry about it all. So, have you ever noticed that worrying, does it change anything in your life? Does it change the problem that you're worrying about? Worry has never changed the problem that you're worrying about. All it does is cause you to stop trusting the Lord. Worry doesn't improve anything. It actually just makes it worse. When you get right down to it, the calendar tells us there's 7 days in a week, but there's really only three. There's yesterday, and it's over, so we can't worry. There's no reason to worry about what happened yesterday, because it's done. It's in our past, and we can't change it. The Bible says we don't have to worry about tomorrow, because we're not even there yet, so why worry about it, right? We're not promised tomorrow. Why worry about tomorrow? I might not even make it there, so there's no reason to worry about tomorrow. So all we have left is just today. And God said that He'll meet our needs for today. He tells us that He'll provide for us today. He'll take care of us today. So today is the only day we really have to worry about. And if we believe that God's with us today, we don't have to worry about today either, because He's here with us. And He says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So just live today and know that He's with you today. He was there when you got up this morning, and He'll be there when you go to sleep tonight. So there's nothing to fear and worry about. All it's doing is causing physical and spiritual sickness in your life. That's all that worry is doing for you. First, we're going to take a look about problems. The Bible doesn't tell us that we won't have a life of problems. It tells us just the opposite, that we're going to have some difficulties and we're going to have some trials. Job 14:1 says, "Man who is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble." First, I didn't even read my scriptures that we're talking about. I'm going to go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. This is what we're talking about in general. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So Job tells us that we are born of woman and we are going to have a few days and they're going to be full of trouble. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." See, Jesus ultimately has already won the victory. He overcame the world. He overcame death and sin forever. And so, even though we are going to have some troubles and trials here, ultimately we have our victory already in Jesus Christ. So no matter what we face here, ultimately we're victorious. We have to remember that we are victorious. If we could get in that in our mindset and live like we already have victory, because we do. If we're in Christ, we already have victory. He took that victory for us. And so through him, we are victorious. And so we can have peace at the worst of times because we know that Jesus Christ already gave us the victory. Ecclesiastes 2:23 says, "For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night, his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity." So we know that troubles are real. They're not figments of our imagination. We have troubles and trials, and the Bible says we will. But we're not to worry and fret over them. We're to trust the Lord. One thing that God tells us when it comes to our troubles and our worries and fears is don't. Don't worry, don't fear, don't be afraid. He says to be careful for nothing, and that literally means do not worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about anything. Anything covers everything, right? So there's nothing that he left for us to worry about when he said, worry about nothing. He didn't leave anything uncovered. What is worry? It's a troubled state of mind resulting from concern about current or potential difficulties. How many of those potential difficulties do we worry about that they never even happen? That we wasted our time and energy fretting over them, and then they never even occur anyway. So that's what worry is. It's worrying about something that may or may not happen. It's an old English word that means to strangle. And that comes from the practice of wolves killing sheep by biting them around the neck, thus strangling their prey to death. And that's what worry will do. It grabs you by the neck and it strangles the life out of you. If you've ever known someone that worries, or you've just done it yourself, it'll suck the life out of you. It sucks the joy out of you. When you worry all the time, it robs you of so much. And it leaves you exhausted. Worry literally can just leave you exhausted, partly because it'll keep you up at night and you can't sleep. You can't rest. But it strangles you. Worry displays a lack of faith in God's ability to meet your needs. It's like calling God a liar. We don't think about stuff like worry in those terms. That when you're worrying about, he says not to worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will put on, because he cares for us. And in his word, he covers all the stuff we worry about. He's already covered it here, if we would read it and then believe it. But when we worry about things, then we're saying, I know God says you're my healer and that you're my provider, but I think you're a liar. So I'm going to have to worry about it because I just don't trust what your word says. But if we can learn to trust him, then we can learn to let go of that worry and stress that we put on ourselves and our lives about every little thing. When you worry, you're telling God that I don't think you can meet my needs. I don't think you can heal me. I don't think you can provide the job I need. I don't think you can take care of my children. Why should Christians not worry? There are a lot of reasons we shouldn't worry. There's 100 diseases. There's 100 reasons right there why we shouldn't worry. God knows what you have faced, what you're facing, and what you will face. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." You're going to have to excuse me just for a second, because this has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now. Not in this sense, but maybe in some. I want to read my commentary for that verse. Because there's been a lot of discussion in the last few days about the Supreme Court's decision on marriage. It's been pretty, there's just been a lot of discussion about it. And I want to read my commentary because I think this verse goes to this discussion. If you read the commentary, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." This is what my commentary says. "At times it seems that God has let evil run rampant in the world, and we wonder if he even notices it. But God sees everything clearly, both the evil actions and the evil intentions lying behind them. He is not an indifferent observer. He cares and is active in our world. Right now, his work may be unseen and unfelt, but don't give up. One day he will wipe out evil and punish the evildoers, just as he will establish the good and reward those who do his will." So just remember that when you question what's going on around us in our society, God is not indifferent to it. He's not blind to it. Maybe it doesn't seem like he's moving, maybe you pray and ask God to stop that decision from coming down. Regardless of the decisions that are made in our government, God hasn't lost control. He's still in control, and don't worry and fret about those decisions, because he's not an indifferent observer. He's actively involved in this stuff, and we have to trust that one day every knee will bow and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. And just keep praying for those that are in the middle of all that. Not just that, but every sin. Job 23:10 says, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." God knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through. And when he has tested you, you're going to come through as gold. When you persevere and press through, you're going to come forth and see the glory of God if you'll just trust in him. Psalms 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways." See, God's familiar with your ways. He knows you're rising up and you're laying down. He knows what we have need of, so we don't have to worry about it, because he knows better than us what we need. We think we know what our family needs, or where we need to be living, or what we need to be doing. But if we can learn to trust him and quit fretting about everything, he knows what's best for us. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast all our care upon him, because he cares for us. He cares so much about what you face in life, and he's not going to let us down. He's not going to fail us. He can't fail. He can't fail us. God has promised to take care of you. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Hebrews 13:5-6 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, he will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may come boldly saying, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We become content when we realize that God has sufficiency. He's all we need. He is sufficient to meet our needs. We can rest and be content when we we grasp that and believe that He has all we need. He has all the healing we need, all the financial provision we need. He has all the salvation that we need for our family or our coworkers. He has all we need, and He's sufficient. And if we believe He's sufficient, we don't have to worry. We don't have to stress about everything when we know that He's all we need. This our scriptures in Philippians tell us what we should do is that's what we should pray. Prayer is so vital, and I think it's so, it's just vital. And if we're not praying, then we're missing a very important link between us and God and between us and our needs being met. It's prayer. And so we've got to be people of prayer. Instead of worrying, the child of God should pray. Have you ever thought to do that? Every time you start to worry, just start to pray instead. You might find that you're praying a whole lot. You might realize how much you're worrying if we started praying. If we could train ourselves to pray when we worry, we might realize just how much we're worrying when we start realizing how much we're praying. When Paul talks about praying, he uses three words in this verse. He talks about prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. And prayer just in general means being in the presence of the Lord. We come into His presence when we pray. It carries the idea of acknowledging God for who He is. We just come into the presence of our Father and just talk to Him. That's all prayer is talking to Him. We talk to everybody else about our problems. So why not talk to God? Tell Him what your problems are and what your burdens are and what your cares are. It's a picture of a weak child seeking the attention of a powerful parent. We're just a child who just needs their parent. And our parent just happens to be the most powerful man in the universe. You know, we're His child and He has all the power that we need. When you go to prayer with God, you see Him for who He is and the reality of who He is, that He's supreme. There's no power greater than Him. Prayer is leaving the cares of the world behind to get lost in the presence of God. If you're tired of worrying, then pray a while and leave this world's stuff behind. And just go, get lost in the presence of the Lord. If you've ever been in that kind of a prayer meeting, I'm just talking about by yourself, just you and the Lord, you can forget about the worries of the world when you get in God's presence. When He begins to fill you and just be there with you, you forget about the worries and the cares of your life because you're with your Father and He's reminding you that He's got it. And He's taking care of you, and He loves you, and He's not going to fail you or forget you. When we get our eyes off our troubles, we can focus on the face of our Heavenly Father. When you quit looking at all the troubles you have, then you can all of a sudden see the face of your Father. It's a face of compassion and caring and love. But we got to quit looking at our circumstances so that we can look to Him and look at Him and see and really see Him. See Him according to His Word. You see Him by the Word. And if you can see Him by the Word, then it's going to change us. If we can start seeing Him by His Word, as we begin to look at Him, our problems, they grow smaller. So when trouble comes your ways, one of the greatest sources of strength that you have is prayer. And through prayer, you can escape for just a little while the problems of this world and get away from it all for a while and just be in your Father's presence. And we shouldn't wait till we have a crisis to pray. Prayer should be our lifestyle. It shouldn't be, you know, oh, everything's falling apart. Well, I'm going to pray now. It should just be something we do all the time. Paul also uses the word supplication, and it refers to an earnest sharing of our burdens, needs, and problems. It's not just a flippant prayer, but it's an earnest, sincere talking to God about what's really going on. You know, he already knows, but sometimes it helps just to, do you ever just need to get stuff off your chest? There's no better place to get stuff off your chest than in prayer and in supplication to the Lord. It's fervent prayer about our needs. We have to be fervent. We have to be fervent in our prayer. It's not just as we lay down our heads at night and we're so tired we can't hardly stand ourselves. I mean, this kind of prayer takes some effort. It takes some time. You can't just get it done just whenever. I was going to say in the car, but you can. You can get some pretty good prayer done in the car if you're by yourself. Just don't close your eyes to pray. If you're driving, you got to keep your eyes open to pray. What? Where's my faith, y'all? I'm not even going to go there. God wants his children to pray, and he wants us to pray with passion about the things that are on our heart. James 5 and 16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." It also says, or it can say, the prayer of a righteous man, it accomplishes much. Prayer is our most powerful resource, and the results of our prayer are much greater than what we often even think is possible. So we go to prayer with thinking that we know what the answer should be, or we know what we need, but prayer has possibilities that we can't even fathom. See, God has things in store that he has for us that we can't even comprehend. And so we limit ourselves when we don't talk to him about it. We go in, and when we think we've got the answer, we limit what he has available to us. And it's infinite. But we go in and we hamper him because we think we've got it figured out. But prayer can open up so many possibilities to us if we'll just believe and if we'll pray. There's also requests, and that refers to detailed prayer about specific issues. We need to learn to pray specifically. Don't just be general. Don't just pray for Brother Don's healing. Pray for his cancer to be healed. You know, don't just pray for a new job. Say, God, I want the exact perfect job that you have prepared for me. You know, don't be general, but tell him what you need. Call those things that are not as though they were. You know, don't say, God, just watch over my children. Say, no, God, bring my children to you. You know, point their hearts to you. Keep them in peace. You know, be specific. Don't just pray, oh, God, keep your hand over my family. Tell him what you know, be specific. Say, my family needs your peace. We need your love. We need your wisdom. Tell him what you need, and don't just pray in generalities, because, see, it's easy to pray in general terms. It doesn't take as much effort or as much time just to kind of do this blanket prayer. But if we're serious about praying and seeking the Lord, then we got to take the time to really talk it out with him. We have to really talk it out. The atmosphere of praise. Paul says that we are to do this in everything. Big things or little things, it doesn't matter to the Lord. It doesn't matter if it's something simple or something complex. He'll take care of it and cares about it all. We need to learn to pray about everything all the time. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we all know this. It says, "Pray without ceasing," or pray all the time. We should always have prayer in our hearts, or any time something just comes up, it should just be an automatic reaction to pray. And I don't necessarily mean you have to hit your knees and pray, but we can say a prayer in our hearts just like that, if that's our mindset. When things arise, if our mind is geared that way and we've trained ourselves that way, then that's just how we respond to problems. It's just, we say a quick prayer because it's who we are. It needs to be who we are and how we live our lives. He also tells us here that our praying should be done with an attitude of thanksgiving. He says, "Let your requests be made known with thanksgiving." by giving thanks. As we approach God with our worries, our fears, and our burdens, we should also do that with a thankful heart. Because we always have something to be thankful for. We have prayers that are answered before or just needs that he's met. We should be thankful because we have a God who cares enough to listen to us when we pray. A God that created a way for us to talk to him through prayer. Who cares about our problems. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. He's told us he will hear and answer if we pray. There's something to be thankful for, that he's listening. We've all probably talked to people, and when we got done, we knew they didn't hear a word we said. I do that to my family sometimes. But God, he hears us. So we can be thankful that we can talk to him about our burdens, and he's going to know when we get done what we just said. We won't have to repeat ourselves to him. We can also be thankful that regardless of how bad life has become, that God directs our path and he points us in the right direction. So even if things are just out of control, you can be thankful that God still knows your path and he still can guide and direct your steps. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God promises is his peace. This is a good part. We're going to get rid of worry, but when we come to him in prayer and thanksgiving, then he promises us peace. Anybody need peace? We all should desire. I'm sure we all desire peace. It's the kind of peace that passes all understanding. It's a state of being where you are in calm in the heart and in your mind, despite of what's going on around you. That's the kind of peace that he'll give us, peace from turmoil and strife. This is the calm in the heart that exists even though your storm still rages. You can have peace even though the storm rages all around you. You can still be at peace regardless of what's going on. It's God's gift to those who trust in him in everything. He says, if you'll trust me in everything, I'll give you peace. Jesus talked about this kind of peace in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This peace is divine in origin. Jesus said, I will give you peace. First, the main peace he gives us is just peace in knowing him as our Savior, that peace that comes from being forgiven of our sins. But God's peace can't be disturbed by our problems or our sickness or our fears, difficulties of life. All that stuff that goes on can't disturb the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace that comes from the Lord can't waver and it can't be shaken and it cannot be destroyed by life circumstances. It can stand the test of time. When I think about the peace that passes all understanding, my grandmother, when my grandpa was dying, that was her scripture. That's the scripture they stood on while he was sick and dying of his cancer, that the peace that passes all understanding, and they had that. Because they trusted in the Lord, because they didn't let cancer steal their peace. The circumstances, the turmoil of their life couldn't steal that peace because it was from the Lord. The peace wasn't from a doctor or a treatment or whatever. The peace came from their Heavenly Father, and that couldn't be destroyed all the way through his death. That peace couldn't be taken because it wasn't fake. It wasn't given by man. It was given from their Heavenly Father. And that's the kind of peace we can have, that circumstances can't destroy and can't steal away from us, because it came from our Father and he gave it to us. And so it's ours until we give it back, I suppose. God promises us his preservation. We are told that God's peace will keep your hearts and minds. When Paul mentions the heart, he's referring to the seat of the emotions. and the heart is the place from which our feelings come. And we mentioned the mind, he's talking about our way of thinking. So worry is all about our feelings and our thinking, right? He says that he will give us peace in our hearts and our minds. The way we feel and the way we're thinking, he can give us peace. When we see our burdens, our problems, and our fears through human eyes, we will always develop wrong feelings and wrong thoughts about the things we face in life. So when you look at it through your human perspective, you're always going to have trouble. But when we can look through God's eyes and through the Word, when we look at our circumstances and our problems through the Word and what it says about them, then we can have peace that keeps our hearts and minds. Years ago, in the pioneer days of aviation, a pilot was making a flight around the world. After he had been gone for some 2 hours from his last landing field, he heard a noise in his plane, which he recognized as the gnawing of a rat. He realized that while his plane had been on the ground, a rat had gotten in. For all he knew, the rat could be gnawing through a vital cable or control of the plane. It was a very, very serious situation. He was both concerned and anxious. At first, he didn't know what to do. It was 2 hours back to the landing field from which he had taken off and more than 2 hours to the next landing field. Then he remembered that the rat is a rodent. It's not made to be in the heights. It is made to live on the ground or underground. Therefore, the pilot began to climb. He went up 1,000 feet, and then 1,000, and then 1,000, until he was more than 20,000 feet up. The gnawing ceased. The rat was dead. He could not survive in the atmosphere of those heights. More than 2 hours later, the pilot brought the plane safely to the next landing field and found the dead rat. Worry is a lot like the rat in your heart and in your mind. If left alone, it will gnaw at you until it destroys your life and until it steals away all your joy, all your power, and all your energy. But the rodent of worry cannot live in the secret place of the Most High. It cannot breathe in an atmosphere that is steeped in prayer and influenced by the Word of God. Worry dies when we ascend to the Lord through prayer in His Word. What do you need to carry to the throne of grace today? It can't live in God's presence. My favorite line, that is, it can't live in the presence of the Most High. Worry has to die in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Brother Robbie's going to play a song, and we've played it here before. The pastor sang it not too long ago. I woke up this morning singing all I knew to sing of it. But it's "Peace of God, Cover Me." And I don't know. He's going to play it. Obviously, it's going to be a video because that's the only way I could get it. But you can either carry your burdens to the throne of grace this afternoon and cast your care and your worry on Him. You can just worship with the song and let the peace of God cover you. But just whatever you need to do to get your peace today, then I encourage you to do that while this man sings.
There's a song that I wrote just this last week, Monday morning, over the last several days and nights. I've been waking up in the middle of the night just worrying about things, and some of them aren't even real. But I think the enemy loves to distract us. And if you get a little sick, he'll make you think, well, you better go check this out. You probably got cancer. It's going to end your life. Or he'll have you worrying about your family that it's going to end. And he'll have you worrying about your job and it's going to end. But he just loves to weigh you down so you can't do what you were destined to do. And so in the middle of the night, I just kept singing these words, "Peace of God, cover me." And so today, this is just a brand new chorus, and I want you to feel free to try to sing it with us. Peace of God, cover me, cover me, cover me. Peace of God, cover me through the storm. Simple. Try it. try to sing it with me? Peace of God.
Peace of God, cover me. Cover me.
May your peace cover our families, Lord. Cover our minds, Lord. Oh, yes, cover our business, Lord. Oh, cover our marriages, Lord. Let your peace be in our homes. Let your peace be in our rest at night. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, this afternoon I just pray that God's peace will go with you and be with you and keep you, and you'll just bow your heads and we'll just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today that we've heard. We pray that it would not return void, but would accomplish all that you've purposed it to accomplish in our lives today. And we just pray that your peace, God, would guide us, that it would keep us, that your peace would comfort us, Lord, when things are in turmoil, that you would just give us your peace that passes all of our understanding. Help us be people of prayer, Lord, that cast all of our care upon you, because we know that you care for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.